As Archbishop, it's my responsibility to make clear the Church's teaching whenever it may be called into question. And the situation here involves what is called scandal.
That's the voice of Archbishop Raymond Burke of the St. Louis Archdiocese announcing his decision last week to resign as a board chairman for the Cardinal Glennon Children's Foundation. The whole flap was over whether or not artist and musician Sheryl Crow would be part of the entertainment of a fundraiser for that organization. He had spoken privately to the board, and then when the board refused to hear his concerns, he decided he would resign, and that's when the news story really broke. We're going to be hearing a Fox 2 news story about the entire issue and then talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell right after that during the second hour of Issues Etc. Now, I want you to be giving this some thought as we're playing this audio for you, because at 4:30, right after the bottom of the hour, we want your reaction. It's audio open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. At 4:30, we're going to open the phone lines and get your reaction to Archbishop Raymond Burke's resignation from the foundation, the Cardinal Glennon's Children's Foundation, last week. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. First, let's find out how the fundraiser went last night. Here's the story from Fox 2 News.
And the Fox Theater is full as a controversial singer takes the stage.
Sheryl Crow is singing at the Fox tonight. It's a fundraiser for Cardinal Glennon, a Catholic hospital. But the Archbishop of St. Louis says Crow's views violate everything the Catholic Church stands for.
But the show goes on anyway. Fox 2's Teresa Woodard joins us live from the Fox with a check on how it's going. Teresa.
Well, Billy Crystal is on stage right now, and he's actually making light of the situation. The first thing he said when he walked on the stage was, "Let us pray." Billy Crystal, Bob Costas, Sheryl Crow, all inside the Fox. So are thousands of other people. Very few empty seats. The show goes on, controversy or not.
I respect the Archbishop's position. My position is that I have never applied a litmus test to any of the performers who have come to this event for two decades. I don't intend to, now or in the future. It makes no sense to me to do that.
So Sheryl Crow sings and Billy Crystal performs, while the St. Louis Archbishop wished Catholics would stay home.
I wasn't terribly upset. He's entitled to his position. It's perhaps predictable, and we carry on.
The crowd did carry on.
We sold out. The event is sold out.
The Archbishop said Crow's support of embryonic stem cell research and abortion rights makes it wrong for Cardinal Glennon, a Catholic medical center, to accept money from her. He's a critic of Crow's. Others are critical of him. One held a sign outside the Fox, but some made the point just by being here.
It's just all about the kids. It's benefiting the kids. I don't really see the other side. I just see that it's all about the children, and to try to bring religion or politics into it is a shame.
I think his perception of this as somehow a ideological endorsement of Sheryl Crow or anybody, it's not about that. It's not about that. It never has been.
Costas knows there's been controversy. Crow knows she's been criticized, but it didn't hurt their night.
She understands that, and that's fine. That's her position. I may have different positions. I may not. The point is, though, what we do have a common position about is helping our children.
And there are certain people I laugh at, or certain people whose music I listen to, who might not be right for this event, but surely Billy Crystal and Sheryl Crow are smack dab in the middle of what the demographic should be, so I'm delighted.
Now, Sheryl Crow is a Missourian, and she actually brought her parents to the show tonight, so they're inside the Fox Theater as well. I want to make this point. Since the controversy broke, we've made certain attempts to get both sides of the story in every story we've done. Tonight, obviously, if anybody is at the show, they certainly disagree with the Archbishop, and the Archbishop himself is no longer taking questions from the media on this matter. Live outside the Fox Theater, Teresa Woodard, Fox 2 News.
All right, there's the story from Fox 2 News on the latest. It sounds, by all accounts, as though the fundraiser was a success in spite of the Bishop's decision to resign from the board. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us. She's a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, a regular guest on Channel 9's Donnybrook program, and author of a recent column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch titled "Bishops Have a Right to Speak Out Too." Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
What do you think the bottom line here is? It seems as though a lot of people are just kind of shrugging their shoulders, don't understand what it was all about. What is the bottom line for Bishop Burke in his objections?
Well, I think the bottom line in the issue is that it's a religious freedom issue. I think the bottom line for Archbishop Burke is that he has a duty to uphold the teachings of his church, and he did that very clearly, and he has a right as an American to speak out on this issue. And I think a lot of the controversy was surrounding the fact that a bishop would actually use that right and go ahead and speak out on an issue that is not popular in many quarters.
Well, in spite of what many St. Louis Catholics personally believe, is there any ambiguity in the church's official teaching regarding abortion or embryonic stem cell research?
None whatsoever. And a lot of Catholics don't understand their church's teachings very well. Many understand it and choose to reject it. They have a right as Americans to do that, but they can't say that they're acting in accord with the Catholic Church. They're simply not. What Archbishop Burke was defending here is his church official teaching. I don't see how you can fault a bishop of any church for defending his own church's official teaching. So I think it's a little bit ironic that so many Catholics sometimes are coming down so hard against their own bishop simply for upholding a teaching that some of them have decided to reject.
We can't psychologize individual Catholics who've reacted to this, but it could it be that the bishop, in reminding Catholics what they ought to believe according to their church's teaching, has piqued some consciences, people who really don't care one way or the other about abortion or about embryonic stem cell research?
Well, I think absolutely he has. I mean, this is not an easy position to take in our current culture. It's not easy for a bishop. It's not easy for an ordinary Catholic or Christian on the street. So I think Archbishop Burke's refusal to compromise on this and his insistence that he's going to stand for his pro-life beliefs, whether or not it's popular, does really call everyone, I think, who shares his conviction and everyone who shares the Christian faith to think hard about whether or not we're living up to what we say we believe. And I think for a lot of people that's very uncomfortable, and they would rather believe that he was kind of the lone nut out there than that they might not be living up to their own convictions or their own church teaching.
You have written about a double standard when it comes to this, and we heard a little bit of that in some of the reactions in that Fox 2 news piece, where it sounds as though those who disapprove of the bishop's reaction are kind of saying, well, I just don't understand what his big problem is. Sure, Sheryl Crow is as out front an activist in favor of abortion and embryonic stem cell research as you can possibly be, but why should that matter? How would you respond?
Well, I would respond as I did in my column, and that is, why shouldn't Planned Parenthood feel compelled to put Burke as the MC of their next gala for choice? I mean, why shouldn't I take my most fiercely critical, my fiercest critic in the public square on an issue about which I care deeply and I'm called to act in a certain way, and have that person be given a forum in my own home or at my own church? It simply doesn't make any sense. And there is a double standard here. When Archbishop Burke came out to protest the Medicaid cuts in 2005, when he talked about care for the poor, the importance of balancing immigration concerns with compassion for the vulnerable, you didn't hear this same chorus. And here, when he's defending a teaching that is even more fundamental, it's just the most fundamental moral teaching in the church, which is we must defend innocent human life, suddenly then he is not to be given a platform. He shouldn't be speaking out. So can he mix religion and politics in the sense of speaking out in the public square, or is he not allowed to do that if he does so in a way that conflicts with a politically correct position? And I think that's some real hypocrisy we're seeing coming out of this episode.
His defenders have simply made the case that if he would not have spoken out on this, he would not have been doing his job as Archbishop. Do you agree?
I do, and I think part of the reason this was so controversial is because this hasn't been done enough. I mean, it's really surprising how many people have made the argument, a really circular argument, that, well, gee, we didn't see this happen before when this or that performer showed up and they had some questionable views. So therefore, it's just too late for the church to ever do this, for a bishop to ever take this stand. Well, you got to start somewhere. And he's saying, I don't know what other people allowed. I don't know what happened in the past, but I know right here, right now, I can't allow this to go on and look like it's got the Catholic Church official seal of approval on someone who has worked very hard to undermine the church's position on these issues.
Well, some people are going to say this is a tempest in a teapot. And since the Archbishop wanted people still to give money to Cardinal Glennon's in spite of his resignation from the board that was supporting Cardinal Glennon's, why did he even raise the issue at all if he still wants people to write their checks at the fundraiser?
Well, I think he took a very admirable position, which is, I need to clarify this in my role as bishop, but if you've bought a ticket, think hard about whether you should go or not. I think the news clip we heard was wrong to say that absolutely everyone at the concert thought he was out of line. I don't know if that you can make that generalization, because he didn't say, hey, it's a sin to show up at this concert. And he also, you know, he wants a Catholic Children's Hospital to be financially supported by the community. He made it very clear in his statements that right off the bat, let me make this clear, this isn't about kids, it's not about doctors, it's not about the hospital. It's about me taking a stand on something. So I think those two things are completely compatible, and I think Catholics, however, should be looking at Catholic institutions that do put an archbishop in these kind of positions and say, well, you know, do we need to maybe make our views known to the board or to the foundation board and let them know that, hey, you know, why are you putting our religious leader in a position where he basically can't win no matter what he does?
It's Wednesday, May the 2nd. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Archbishop Raymond Burke's resignation last week from the Cardinal Glennon Children's Foundation and the news that has followed. Colleen Carol Campbell is our guest. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We'll be taking your phone calls after the 4:30 break and your email as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Colleen is a fellow of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, regular guest on Channel 9's Donnybrook program, and author of a recent column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch titled, Bishops Have a Right to Speak Out, Too. I heard some people say, the bishop is guilty of religious intolerance. How do you respond?
I would say his critics are far more guilty, at least the more vocal ones that we've been seeing on blogs, online forums. There's been some really vicious stuff out there, anti-Christian, anti-Catholic rhetoric about how basically people in these kinds of religious leadership positions simply don't have a right to speak out in the public square. I mean, I've heard some of that. Or if they do, they should expect to be completely vilified. And I think it's frightening. I think it's frightening no matter where you stand on these issues to think that there's a whole group of people that are increasingly told they don't have a place in the public square for their views. Your point of view, whether it's pro-life or as a committed Christian, simply isn't welcome because you are starting from a place of faith. I think that should scare everyone, regardless of where you stand on Sheryl Crow.
Does Burke stand out in part because so many of his colleagues, other bishops in the Catholic Church, are so curiously silent at times like this?
Well, there has been a real problem in the church that is, I think, happily being rectified with bishops who've kind of been intimidated and a little bit pushed into a corner and have learned that they're going to just get slammed, particularly by secular media, if they speak out on the abortion issue. And so they do so in very quiet or more diplomatic ways. But there are increasingly some of these bishops, most of them appointed by Pope John Paul II, who had no lack of boldness, who are standing up. Archbishop Burke is seen as a leader in the American church by many, many Catholics, and a lot of the folks following this story are in cities all over the country, and just thrilled about him. And I know after I wrote my piece, I got so many notes from people all over the country saying, geez, I wish we had a bishop like this in our city. So there are more bishops like him. Archbishop Chaput in Denver is another one who are becoming more vocal in this and saying, you know, look, we've got to speak out and make this clear where the church stands.
Should Christian organizations, say hospitals like the one in question, or parachurch organizations, be far more careful about the associations that can come when we are when they are appealing broadly, as Bob Costas said, to the demographic
right.
for support of their efforts, say, to help kids who are sick or whatever the case may be?
I think you do have to be careful. I mean, the plain fact about Hollywood and entertainment world today is that the position supporting abortion rights is far more prevalent than the pro-life position. But I think Christian organizations do have a duty to look at their mission statement and say, you know, are we living up to this? I mean, this isn't a question of someone who supports abortion rights privately wants to write a check and we can't accept it. This is, we're going to give a platform to a person who is purposely undermining our position on what we consider one of the most fundamental moral questions of our time. And this idea that, well, everybody likes her, it's the demographic, she can bring in a lot of money, I find that frightening to hear from a Christian perspective. I seem to recall that we're not supposed to consider money as the end in itself, and we should be very wary of diluting our moral values because we want to make a little more money.
Before we let you go, I think the last time we talked with you was when you had put out your book, The New Faithful, and since then a lot of water has gone under the bridge.
Right.
Are you excited about becoming a new guest columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch?
I really am. It's a neat way to sort of return home in many ways. I was at the Post for 5 years as a news and editorial writer, so I'm sort of coming full circle after being away for a while. It's a neat opportunity.
And how often will you be writing columns?
Every Thursday. And Sunday's piece was just sort of an extra, and occasionally I'll probably do that sort of thing as well. But I'll be a Thursday regular.
Some good reactions?
Yes, a lot of good reaction.
Well, you can read Colleen's columns on the web at stltoday.com, stltoday.com. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, a regular guest on Channel 9's Donnybrook program, and she's author of this column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch recently titled Bishops Have a Right to Speak Out, Too. You can read it at stltoday.com. Colleen, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. There's been a lot of reaction. Of course, the thing went off apparently without a hitch. Here's a Fox News interview with Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, his reaction to the whole story of Bishop Burke, his resignation, and the general reaction in the press.
Well, call it the separation of church and crow. St. Louis Archbishop Raymond Burke has resigned as the chairman of a Catholic charity because the organization allowed singer Sheryl Crow, an abortion rights supporter, to headline its benefit concert last night. Burke is the same archbishop who made headlines during the 2004 election for saying he would deny John Kerry communion. So is the archbishop picking a political fight or standing up for principle? Bill Donahue is the president of the Catholic League. He joins us now from New York. Bill, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So does the church consider this archbishop a maverick or a champion?
Well, I think most lay Catholics who are practicing Catholics regard him as a champion. I mean, after all, he could have done the bureaucratic thing, which is to say to do nothing, just take the money and run. But instead, he wanted to draw a line in the sand. This is a man of principle. He's one of the greatest bishops in the United States. And what he's basically saying is that the source of the funding matters. I don't think he wants to impugn the credentials, the moral credentials of Sheryl Crow in the sense that she probably had good intentions. Fine. And other people can disagree with him. But what he is saying is this. You have to be concerned about giving scandal. That is to say, sending a message to Catholics that it's okay. You can give a wink and a nod. We'll take your money. We don't care if you're a pro-abortion activist or not. See, Sheryl Crow is not incidentally pro-abortion. She's a rabid activist. And what Archbishop Burke did is say, look, enough is enough. Time out. I'm not going to put up with it.
So you think that other archbishops are more diplomatic, a little less confrontational, but this is more the mold that you'd like to see in the church?
There's no question about it. I don't care whether you're on the right or the left. You want men and women of principle. And I think the easiest thing to do with people in positions of power is to play it close to the vest. We see it with the people in Washington. We see it in the Catholic Church and in other religions. I would like to see more men and women in this country define what their moral principles are, have a moral nucleus, let us know what the moral center is, and then draw the parameters. You know, if you're going to be afraid of getting criticized by the media or by some other Catholics or others, then you have to check out. And one thing about this, too, I don't like the idea that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and others are asking people who are not Catholic in their public surveys to pass judgment on Archbishop Burke. They should keep their noses out of it. This is not a church and state issue, and they're trying to manipulate him, trying to intimidate him so that he can become bureaucratic the way some other bishops are. They're going to lose with Archbishop Burke because he's a man of integrity.
Well, Bill, you know there are different views among Catholics, of course, about different issues, stem cell research, even abortion. The church, as it stands, has a firm stand. But what do you say to the people who say, hey, listen, this event could raise a lot of money for Cardinal Glennon's Children's Medical Center?
Well, what I would say to those people is this. Evidently, you're not too concerned about abortion. You don't regard it as intrinsically evil the way the Catholic Church does. Let's just say David Duke says he wants to come in and help out. David Duke is going to raise money for sickle cell anemia to help out African Americans. Who in their right mind would want that racist to come in there and raise money, even if it was for a good cause?
But Bill, Sheryl Crow is David Duke?
Well, no, she's not a racist, but what she is she's a rabid pro-abortion activist who went into Missouri to campaign in favor of bills allowing human cloning and embryonic stem cell research. She's not incidentally pro-abortion. And at that point, when she becomes an activist, at that point, it is right and proper for people to take pass judgment on her.
Bill Donahue, thank you for coming in.
All right, there's the story from Fox News nationally. Bill Donahue of the Catholic League responding, actually being rather cogent for a change. So he's got his facts there, and now you've heard them. You've had a lot of time to think about this. I want to hear what you have to say on the other side of this break. What do you think about the issue? Do you agree or disagree with the Archbishop's decision to resign from this board at Cardinal Glennon to bring this to the fore, to make this something that not only made the news here locally but also nationally? Does it make the Catholics look bad? Or did he do the right thing? Your phone calls and your email after this break, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Colleen Carol Campbell wrote in her column, Crow has a right to her opinions, but it makes no more sense for Burke and the Catholic institutions he oversees to lend Crow a platform for Planned Parenthood to appoint Burke MC of its next gala for choice. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Do you agree or disagree? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or our in-studio email address when we come back from this break. Just 25 minutes of audio open lines before the third hour of the program, so call early. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We just spent the last 2 days broadcasting live from the LCMS World Relief Conference on Mercy at the Airport Marriott in St. Louis. We had an opportunity to talk there with Maggie Carner of LCMS World Relief Life Ministries. They're defending life from beginning to end. They understand that, yes, it's not a popular position. It's much easier, especially if Christians are concerned more about their image than about the truth, more about their image than about the unborn. It's not a popular position to take a stand in favor of the unborn, even when it means you're going to raise the ire of the news and all your critics, but they're doing it anyway, because defending the unborn is that important. Find out more about LCMS Life Ministries through LCMS World Relief and earmark a donation for them. 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. You can also go to our website and find a link to everything they do. IssuesETC.org. IssuesETC.org.
From beginning to end, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If we really understood the power of prayer, we'd spend a lot more time on our knees. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Howard Hendricks talks about the importance of being alone with our Heavenly Father. Join us for a special National Day of Prayer broadcast at a pivotal point in our country's history. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Get ready, get set, and go to Forest Park for the 12th Annual Family Walk with Run to benefit Lutheran Family and Children's Services. It's happening Saturday, May 12th on the Upper Muni parking lot. Now, this wonderful event boasts a 3-mile kid-friendly walk route, 5K competitive run, family game arena for preteens, teens, and parents, and a children's corner. Registration is $25 for the LFCS Family Walk, Saturday, May 12th.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Pitts used a hearing on postpartum depression to highlight the pain some women feel after having an abortion. His post-abortion depression research bill has been blocked by liberal leadership in the House. Steve Jordahl reports yesterday Pitts forced some of them to face a crude reality they desperately want to bury.
And I yield back the balance.
Would you yield to me, please,
since
you mentioned my name? I am a co-sponsor of the bill before us, I would point out to the gentlelady.
Colorado Congresswoman Diana DeGette could hardly restrain her fury in a futile effort to silence Pitts, but she couldn't stop Mikkeline Friedenberg from sharing her heart-rending story.
I was completely unprepared for the emotional fallout after the abortion. I thought that the abortion would erase my pregnancy. I thought I could move on with my life, but I wasn't able to.
Friedenberg alternated between anger and sadness, developed an eating disorder, and started having suicidal thoughts before she discovered a debilitating case of post-abortion trauma. Still, DeGette remained unconvinced.
This so-called post-abortion syndrome is recognized by none of the established professional medical associations.
Georgette Forney of Silent No More says the reason for that has nothing to do with the validity of the condition. Legitimate studies have been denied publication in leading journals, and medical professionals who lean pro-abortion continue to sweep any suggestion of the trauma under the rug.
I see there's a precedent that's been set already that we can deny something for a period of time when it's politically incorrect, too.
A recent study out of New Zealand found that almost 80% of 15 to 18-year-old girls who have abortions display symptoms of major depression. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Congressman Pitt's bill calls for, among other things, $15 million for the National Institutes of Health to research post-abortion trauma. The measure was introduced on March 9th. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
You can plant your flowers to beautify the landscape and help reduce the amount of horticultural waste in landfills by recycling your leftover plastic pots. The Missouri Botanical Garden is again encouraging you to bring your polystyrene cell packs and trays to the west parking lot of the Monsanto Center, 4500 Shaw Boulevard at the corner of Vandeventer, weekends only, beginning May 19th. One complimentary garden admission pass for two will be issued per individual recycling. You can visit mobot.org
Issues,
for more.
Our regular guest pastor, John Pless, is the author of our Book of the Month for May, titled Word, God Speaks to Us. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of this Bible study on our website, issuesetc.org. What's the relationship between the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit? Find out with Word, God Speaks to Us, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Wednesday. It's the 2nd of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting your thoughts for the next 25 minutes on Archbishop Raymond Burke's decision to resign from a board for Cardinal Glennon because Sheryl Crow, a pro-choice activist, also a celebrity who had come in and lent her support to Amendment 2 in favor of embryonic stem cell research in Missouri, was going to be performing at one of their fundraisers. Well, the Archbishop decided to resign from the board. And the news has followed. We're getting your reaction to it. Was the bishop right to do it? Should he have simply said, all right, come on. We understand that this is how the skids are greased. When you want to raise money, you got to make a few compromises. And if it takes Sheryl Crow to raise the money, then so be it. Should he have let it slide? Or should he have done what he did? Or more? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, Christians cannot scripturally disagree on whether or not abortion is wrong, whether or not abortion is a sin. Scripture is quite clear. This is taking of an innocent human life. Life begins at conception, is a gift of God, and is not taken away arbitrarily. Christians cannot disagree on that. But Christians can disagree on how you best go about stopping abortion or ridding society of the evil of abortion. So, did the bishop do the right thing? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with DB, who's calling from his car. Hi, DB.
Hey, Todd. Hey. I was listening to this story, and I found it very interesting. I have, obviously, strong disagreements with the Roman Catholic Church, but I do agree with them on their pro-life position. And so much of the evangelical church and even the Roman Catholic Church holds one position on paper, but is unwilling to stand for that which is true and right and good. And when it comes to pro-life, we can't compromise on these issues because this is human life which is at stake. And I think the bishop's position, some people might be able to disagree with the effectiveness of the decision, and I think there could be just some debate there, but I appreciate his willingness to stand firm in a time when so many of us are just completely unwilling to stand faithful to our positions and take the heat for them. And he seems to be willing to do that. And even when I've disagreed with him, I felt like he's at least been consistent internally with his own beliefs. And that's an admirable quality. It's one of the things I admire about this radio station of yours and your show. I'm a Presbyterian, and so often I disagree with your theology. But when I talk to people about this show, I say that you're always unabashedly Lutheran, that what you hold to be true, you're committed to, and I admire that, and I think that that's how we need to be, and I think that makes a more healthy and effective debate when we come together and debate these issues.
Well, thank you, DB, but let me ask you a question before I let you go. You still there? Oh, DB. He raises the question of, is it effective? Okay? Do you agree or disagree? Was what he did effective? Or was it counterproductive? You know, this happens all the time. You do the right thing, but the results are you kind of cut off your nose to spite your face. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've heard from DB. Now let's talk with Lael, who calls from her car. Hi, Lael.
Hi. Hi, Pastor. I agree with what he did. He has to hold true to his teachings of what Christ, what we believe as Christians. He's a public figure. I don't know that he went out and told the media right off the bat that he quit and why. I think the media picked up on that, didn't they?
Well, he actually raised, at least according to the news reports, Lael, he raised the issue privately with the board, of which
right.
he was the chairman, and when they refused to address his concerns about Crow's appearance and her affiliation with the pro-choice movement, then he resigned. So that's how it happened in that order. Go ahead.
Right. So it was done in a private matter, but the media got a hold of it and made it public, but Sheryl Crow's public too. So I think we have to have equal voice if she's going to represent something, then I think it's valid that he can represent, and then we should hold true to what he's doing.
Lael, thank you very much for the call. Let's see what, let's go with Dan in Altenburg and talk with Dan. Dan, welcome to Issues, etc.
Hello, Pastor. I guess the hospital, I believe it deals with the public and all religions. I don't understand why. I can understand the Archbishop's position, but he had to realize he was in a position where he's dealing with the general public at this hospital, and he can put his views forward, his religious views, but he's got to understand when he took that position as chairman that he's going to have situations like this that aren't, you know, God's or the teaching from the Bible or from the Catholic Church. I don't really understand why he was, but I can understand he made a point, he took a stand. I agree with the stand as a Christian, but I don't see why he was in that position. He thought he took a stand to try to change the policy of the hospital, but apparently it wasn't enough to change it.
Well, okay, thank you, Dan. See, this is where one place I'm unclear, maybe someone can straighten me out. Is Cardinal Glennon a public hospital? I know that the bishop served on the board there, but, you know, bishops serve on all sorts of boards. Cardinal Glennon a public hospital? This isn't a case of a bishop coming into a publicly owned institution, as far as I know, and saying, now, this is what you're going to do, and these are my beliefs. As far as I know, he does exercise some sway, given the fact that it's a Roman Catholic hospital. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If anybody knows whether Cardinal Glennon is just Catholic in name only, that would change the story a little bit, if it's just Catholic in name only. And if it is just Catholic in name only, then it should just call itself, Glennon Hospital, with no reference to its church association whatsoever. I've been in the place. It's a pretty churchly environment. But maybe those are just the vestiges of its previous owners. You know, we had a Lutheran hospital here in St. Louis that ceased to be Lutheran a long, long time ago because it was sold. It just kept the name. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Roland's up next, calling from his car. Hi, Roland.
Well, good afternoon. Always, I'm very glad when these issues are discussed publicly, but a friend of mine in my men's Bible study made an interesting point when this came up last week, and that was, funny how they waited until the tickets were sold to take a stand. He didn't do this at the start of the concert or when it was first being planned. The tickets were sold and the event was in place, and then he took a stand.
Now, are you certain of the timing there?
My source in this Bible study is reliable.
All right. I'm not going to assign the Archbishop any motivation that I'm not certain of here. His timing might have little to do with whether or not the tickets were sold. Obviously, given the fact that the event went off as a success, at least monetarily, and he was still encouraging people to support Cardinal Glennon Hospital, he had a problem with them hiring someone who is a high-profile, pro-choice advocate and celebrity to raise money for them. What's that?
They didn't hire her at the last minute. These guys don't just get called on Tuesday and show up on Thursday night.
Right, but we don't know how long he was in conversation with the board before he felt like he had to resign.
That's true. I don't want to question motives. I just want to say I'm thankful the discussion is out in the open as much as is possible.
All right, Roland, thank you very much. Thanks for waiting on the line there. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Lots of people want to talk. Let's talk with Mark, who calls from his car. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Pastor Todd. You know, there's an old saying, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And the money, you know, that where the money comes from can have a wave of its own and start to change, you know, how people react and what people stand for and what they tolerate. And personally, I'm glad to see the Cardinals speak up. I'm glad to see anybody speak up on this issue. But, you know, the money has an effect, and where it comes from has an effect, and who raises it has an effect. So I'm kind of glad to see it out there, too.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. Now, that is very, very important. You know, that old adage is an adage for a reason. He who pays the piper calls the tune. Where the money comes from does have an effect. Make no mistake. If it doesn't, then why don't churches pass the offering plate around the neighborhood instead of the pews on Sunday morning? Why doesn't your pastor go and seek funds from just anybody to pay the bills for the church? You know, there's a lot of money out there in the community. There's no doubt about it. There's tons of money out there. Some of it's in the hands of Christians. Some of it's in the hands of unbelievers. If it doesn't matter where the money comes from, and if where the money comes from doesn't eventually change and have an effect on the enterprise itself, then why doesn't your pastor go seek funds from a rich Jewish millionaire to support your church? He might be willing to part with that money. Anyone who says it doesn't matter where the money comes from, somehow our mission's going to remain unsullied wherever the money comes from, is lying to you. Judy's up next, calling from her car. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I'm in agreement with the guy who called before me. If it's a problem with who the person is and what their beliefs are, why is it that they still accept the money from these people? You know, there have been several times when people have donated monies, let's say, to the Red Cross, and still Cardinal Glennon and other people who do, let's say, the United Way they get these monies. I'm Catholic, and I agree that he should have said something about it. But I'm also saying, don't be a hypocrite about it. If you're not going to accept money from her, don't accept money from anybody who is against what you believe in.
Judy, thank you very much. So Judy's taking it one step farther. If follow along with me here for a moment, if I understand her correctly. Now, we don't know that Sheryl Crow gave one penny. We don't know whether she gave any money to Cardinal Glennon. She obviously was part of the fundraiser, okay? So we don't know whether any of Sheryl Crow's money came. But I think it's safe to assume that many of the people, some of the people who attended the concert and part of the fundraiser, had no interest, shared Sheryl Crow's favor for abortion and embryonic stem cell research. Can you in good conscience take that money too? Thank you very much, Judy. Katie's calling from her car. Hi, Katie.
Yeah, I'm just wanting to comment. If the hospital has a policy, I don't know if it does or not, I'm not doing abortions, I don't think they should have any performer that is pro-abortion, especially with The Voice. I'm glad he got this out in the open. It's ironic that they're going to have a singer that approves of the death camp for babies and is going to promote life for the ones who happen to make it through that and are now struggling for their life at that little hospital. I think that I wish the musicians would come forth and say, hey, I'm pro-life. I'll be glad to sing and raise money. I hope this gets a bigger voice. That Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital is supporting life and health for small children. And you've got, you know, somebody who supports the death camps singing for them. It's wrong.
Thank
she
you.
She needs to step down.
Thanks, Katie. Well, you know, there are celebrities who are pro-life. Is Bono pro-life, Jeffy, as far as we know? You know, the U2 guy. Bono is pro-life. I imagine he's as capable of answering an invitation as anybody else. Let me go back to Colleen Carroll Campbell for a minute here, where she wrote this in the Post-Dispatch column, where she said, Crow has the right to her opinions, but it makes no more sense for Burke and the Catholic institutions he oversees to lend Crow a platform than for Planned Parenthood to appoint Burke MC of its next gala for choice. Now, just think for a moment. Do you think Planned Parenthood will be calling Bishop Burke anytime soon to help them raise money? No. Why not? Well, there are two reasons, probably. He wouldn't do it. And number two, they're honest. Insofar as that goes, they realize they don't agree with Bishop Burke on the issue of abortion. Dennis calls from his car. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Pastor Todd. How are you today?
I'm very well.
I'd like to preface my questions by stating that I am not a pro-abortion person, and I am certainly not in favor of embryonic stem cell research. But my question is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, as far as I'm aware, Sheryl Crow did not accept, she did not donate any funds to this, but she basically just donated her time. Is that correct?
I don't know if she donated her time. I just know that she agreed to perform at the fundraiser. So we don't know. We don't know what kind of money changed hands or how the arrangements were weighed. Just that she agreed to perform.
Okay. And generally, on those board of directors that they have at these hospitals, I'm sure not everyone on that board is Catholic, which is probably one of the reasons why they chose Sheryl Crow. And the fact that they solicited funds from the public, you know, did not make it any. As far as I'm aware, it doesn't make it a religious event. And did Sheryl Crow use this as a platform for her beliefs?
Well, having not attended the concert, we don't know what she did or whether any. Well, apparently Billy Crystal made some sort of offhanded reference when he was doing his shtick during the fundraiser to the fact that this had been objected to by the Archbishop. So we don't know who was campaigning for what. Although, you know, here I am. I'm sitting right behind a microphone.
Okay.
And although if I said the wrong thing, okay, behind this microphone, I might not be here tomorrow. I will be here 5 minutes from now. See, you give someone a microphone, they can say just about anything they want. You can't control them. Sheryl Crow is up there. She's got her microphone and her guitar. Can anyone on that board guarantee she wouldn't start speaking out in favor of abortion on demand or amendment to or embryonic stem cell research or human cloning as she has publicly during the whole lead up to amendment 2.
Okay, and I suppose lastly, as since they did solicit their funding from the public, and I think it's okay for the Archbishop to make his views known. I just think it was the wrong venue. I think, you know, it's the right perspective, just at the wrong time.
Thank you very much, Dennis. So that goes back to the question of our first caller who said he agreed with it in principle, but he wasn't sure whether it was entirely the most effective way of going about it. And here is where Christians can, in good faith, disagree on whether or not it was the most effective way to go about it. Here's Jean from St. Louis County. Hi, Jean.
Hi. My comment is that I very much admire him for taking such an unpopular stance. I also wish him, you know, well, because I know it's very lonely at the top. I think it's wonderful that this kind of conservative outlook was brought forth and has gotten so much press. I do think that even if the hospital is non-denominational now, that if it's still called Cardinal Glennon, many of us who aren't Catholic are, well, many of us just still think it's associated with the Catholic Church. So I think he certainly had a right to do that.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, this is, here's the, we come back to this problem, where the money comes from and how the money's raised. Okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, and I don't know this to be true, but let's say for the sake of argument, Cardinal Glennon is just a name. It's owned by a cabal of secular atheists, but they kept the name Cardinal Glennon. Any of you Roman Catholics out there be outraged, especially those of you who may have written a check to Cardinal Glennon, thinking, I'm supporting good Catholic health care, a long tradition of Catholics in the hospital business. Any of you might feel a little deceived that when you wrote your check to Cardinal Glennon, which could hardly be mistaken as anything other than a Roman Catholic designator, that you were in fact not supporting anything distinctively Roman Catholic? You see, it's a far more complicated issue than just, was the bishop right to do this or wrong to do that? One of our callers said, it has a lot to do with where the money comes from and under what pretense that money might be raised. You know what the bishop did do? That, call it effective or ineffective. One thing he did do that I think was very effective is no one sitting in that concert listening to Sheryl Crow or Billy Crystal, who wrote a check to Cardinal Glennon, had any illusions about where the board for Cardinal Glennon stood on this issue of whether or not they could have pro-choicers raising money for a Catholic enterprise. They're obviously happy to deceive whoever they can deceive, by however means they can, to keep the hospital running. That is, of course, assuming that Cardinal Glennon is a Catholic hospital and not just Catholic in name only. Diane calls from Chesterfield. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Thank you, Pastor. This is a great forum, and I really appreciate it as a Catholic because, first of all, a lot of Catholics were upset with the Archbishop, and I think they were embarrassed. And I think it's hard. No one wants to hear that you've done something that's viewed as inappropriate or even wrong, and no one wants to point a finger, and that's part of the problem in society. Sheryl Crow is a spokesperson and not appropriate for a Catholic hospital, and Cardinal Glennon was built by weekly contributions of a few dollars by all the Catholics. My grandmother was part of that. It's a wonderful hospital, and, you know, there is never a right time to speak up, is there? Because whenever you speak up, Billy Crystal made a little joke, and that's freedom of speech. That's his right, a little joke on the Archbishop. But it's an unpopular stance to ever be to speak up. And if we don't speak up soon, it will never stop the tide of people saying, well, do we want to say something that might be viewed wrong? And Mother Teresa made a point of never allowing her name to be used in fundraising, ever. She made a point that you cannot raise funds, use her name. She said it was God's work, and the people would give the money if they wanted to, and if they didn't want to, she was unconcerned about where the money came from. Chuck Colson, in closing, made a statement after he did his prison ministry that he said how close Billy Graham was to Nixon, and he said, anybody of faith plays a dangerous game to be involved with seats of power, because seats of power always call in the card. That's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's always a marker, isn't there? You know the old gambling term where you might get an IOU because you bet over your head, and the guy who fronted you the money takes your marker. He's happy to do it. You keep gambling. And then, sooner or later, kind of like one of these days, I'm going to ask a favor of you. And when I ask, you're not going to be able to refuse. If someone is so naive as to think that where the money comes from doesn't matter, or that there are never any strings attached, or that we can somehow take this money and then still do, quote-unquote, the Christian thing over here in our corner without respect to where the money's coming from, it is either naivete or it's just apathy. The bishop, for those of you who are saying, I don't know if he should have done it or shouldn't have done it, think about it this way for a moment. And don't think in terms of image of the church, okay? Don't think about the church's image, because I think it's safe to say that if Bishop Burke was one of these typical kind of church leaders, liberal or conservative, who's more concerned about the image of his church than the teachings of his church, he wouldn't have done what he did. He would have remained silent. But what if he had remained silent? Seeking to preserve, and it's very easy to preserve the image of the church, just keep your mouth shut. Don't speak out. Our last caller is absolutely right. There's never a good time to speak out. You know, the people who say, okay, you're right, these things should be said, but not now. Wait. You're right, those concerns are legitimate, and you should raise them, but this isn't the right time. Wait. You do that long enough, and there's never a right time. You put it off long enough, and you'll never find the time convenient to raise your inconvenient concerns about what's going on. If the church is obsessed with its image rather than the truth that it bears in the world for the sake of sinners, think about the gospel. The gospel is terrible for the church's image. You think that a bishop resigning from a board may have a poor impact on a church's image? Think about preaching the gospel in a world where it is a scandal, it is foolishness, it's a stumbling block. The worst thing in the world for the church's image is the gospel. But it's the only thing that Christ has given his church to proclaim in the world. So I think we can say, please pardon my French, let our image be damned and let the gospel be preached. If we wait for a good time to speak up, to confess, to profess before the world what it is we believe, whether it's something on abortion or more to the heart of the matter, the Savior who all sinners need, Jesus Christ, if we wait for a good time to do that, to get behind that, to make that our primary concern, guess what? We'll still be waiting when the cows come home for a good time. There's never a good time. There's only today. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about 4th century Bishop of Alexandria, St. Athanasius. He wasn't afraid to speak up. He didn't wait until it was convenient. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.